Daily news, breaking updates, and exclusive podcasts. iTricks.com.
Hello and welcome to the Magic Week in Review, bringing you news, rumor, and culture reports from the front lines of the magic industry. I'm Justin Robert Young, editor of iTricks.com, and in this, the Thanksgiving edition of the program, I am joined by two of the biggest names in the Singapore magic scene and two people who have really been legitimate web crossover hits to the entire world via the internet. JC Sum and Magic Babe Ning calling direct from the red light district of Singapore. How are you guys doing today?
Hey there, we wish you were here.
I know.
Yep, we are indeed at the junction of CD Place after dark.
Stuck in a car and there's this tranny on the side of the road who's looking at JC.
There we go. I'll tell you what, we like to start things off with the tranny staring down one of our subjects. That's how we like to
Well, it's 1 p.m. here, okay? So nothing is going on yet.
No. These are the daytime transsexuals. While until we can get into the real heavy hitters. Before we get started, let me remind everybody that Trick Shot Magic is the place that you need to buy all the latest magic props. They just lowered the price on over 5,000 items at their lowest prices ever. There's free shipping on orders over $50 that are shipped within the U.S. And make sure that you tell them that you listen to iTricks when you place your order. So that way they know that it's because you listen to it here. See, you help them, they help us, and the circle of life continues. Here are a few things that you're going to get at the lowest possible price. Yigal Masiga's Tarantula, $36.95. The Infinity Thread, $12.95. Loops! Can't get enough of them, and they're only $6.95. Dare you to find them for under $7 anywhere else. You know, Extreme Burn 2.0, $25.95. I could go on all day, but you need to go to TrickShotMagic.com. Use their live chat feature so you get exactly what you want. No wasted money at TrickShot Magic, and they support this podcast. Please support them. The brick-and-mortar magic shop experience to the internet, one click at a time. Where do I start with JC Sum and Magic Babe Ning? We'll get to your big stunt that's coming up now, but let me just, for everybody who is not familiar, and maybe they read the site every once in a while and they've seen your name but aren't super familiar with you guys, explain what kind of act you guys put on.
Well, basically, we work together to perform Mega Illusions, which are your live one-off spectacular stunts, which can see us teleporting three people across the Singapore River in 2.5 seconds flat, or teleporting a car cross country.
Okay. That's right. In our own time, we twist balloon animals in the bedroom.
JC does that. I don't do that.
I guess we're in the genre as what people would call illusionist or grand illusion.
Yeah.
We generally do stage magic, and in the past couple of years, we've also done a couple of mega illusions, as Ning has mentioned. We also did the national lottery prediction earlier this year here. So I guess that's how people across the world would have heard of us.
You guys have had a fantastic run of these kind of mega illusions that can you give us just a sense? I mean, because we see via the internet, it's just largely, you guys have done a great job of getting your name out there, getting the video of the stuff you've done out there. But what is the reaction in Singapore? You know, how well do you guys get the word out there? Or how big is the coverage?
I think in general, it's really generally big, not just in Singapore, but in the region as well, within Asia. So we are very supported by the local regional media as well as the international magic media. I think what we've done is, because a lot of people in the past decade have been into street magic, so that's really popular. So one of the things we wanted to do be different is to, you know, bring back that whole grandeur of mega illusion. What we did was kind of define what a mega illusion is. Specifically, it must be done, you know, in an iconic location or iconic object, large scale, and very important, must be live and surrounded. So these conditions are, you know, test conditions, and not many magicians or illusionists allow themselves to be put under these conditions. And as with magic, you know how difficult it is when you actually have to tell people what you're going to do. So there's little element of surprise, so to speak.
Yeah, that's right. And well, this month and next, we've been really busy because of the National Heritage Board of Singapore. They've actually gotten me and JC to be the stars of their biggest campaign of the year, and it's called Explore Singapore 2010. So last Saturday, JC and myself, we did a series of shows at this very important museum of theirs called the Peranakan Museum. And well, the response was awesome because for all our shows, it was a full house, and the venue management actually had to turn people away because they couldn't people more people into the show venue. So this Saturday sees us again at another museum of theirs called the Mint Museum of Toys. And so we're really looking forward to that. And of course, on the 12th of December, sees us do the AO exit, which is our 8th mega illusion.
You know, there is really a sense, especially with illusions, you know, when past the 80s and early 90s, you know, when you have Copperfield at his, you know, television peak, and guys like Franz Harari doing huge, super big scale illusions, there was kind of the sense that that was, you know, once you make the Statue of Liberty disappear and walk through the Great Wall of China, what else can you do? I mean, the scale had gotten so, so big. But you guys have really carved out a niche in understanding that there is a middle ground. You don't always have to make the entire continent disappear for 5 seconds. You can do something that's still grandiose, but yet personal enough to a larger audience. What is the secret to finding that area between something that is doable for guys like you who are in the point in your career where you're not yet, you know, making the entire planet vanish, but at the same time, being a big, gigantic spectacle?
That's a really good observation. I think, in the time, in the 80s, early 90s, you know, the whole idea of the grand mega illusions all about scale, always getting bigger. I think with street magic coming off on, you know, being popular with Blaine, that changed the whole focus, really, and approach of how laymen see magic. It was all about the people, interactions, and really being magic close and personal. Now with Facebook, social media, YouTube, it's all about user-generated content.
Yeah.
So how we scaled our mega illusions was really with the people in mind, which is how we laid out the conditions. Must be done surrounded. You know, you can stand anywhere you like. You can shoot with a camera, with a video camera. You can upload it on YouTube, which is what people want and expect now of magicians. So it's kind of doing grand illusions, but with a street magic mentality. And we've always tried to make the illusions more about the people than the illusionists. I mean, I think the first thing we did was very illusionist-centric in the sense, hey, we are the stars, we are going to teleport 50 stories, or she's going to escape from a cage of spikes in full view. But subsequently, we actually evolved the mega illusions to be more audience-centric. So it's three people would be teleported across a river. Five people are going to vanish. Do you want to be one of them?
Yeah.
So that changed that whole landscape. So we don't even intend to go bigger because the point of being bigger, I think it's been done, and bigger is not always better. So yeah. It's really now about the people. We want the control of the illusion to be apparently given to the subjects of the illusion, which are not the illusionists.
Yeah, that's right. I think to be commercially viable, you just really need to be in tune with what's the current trends of your culture and your society today. And it shouldn't be about you know, how big and grand you will be, but really how your client or your partners can really benefit as well.
I think Ning touched on a good point in terms of the commercial aspect of how you get these big stunts. I mean, there's generally two ways. You could fund it yourself.
Yeah.
Or you have someone who would either hire you to do it or sponsor you to do it. So we generally like people to pay us to do such stuff. So we need to have value for them. So we've been able to always kind of either customize the illusion or create the illusion such that it relates back to the overall campaign.
That is something that you guys seem to have been very, very, very good at, is understanding the idea that to tie it to another event or to be hired or to have it sponsored. Is that something that started from the very, very beginning that you guys wanted to make sure that, you know, it's not like you guys just had a dream and wanted to lay out all your money and then, you know, threw sand to the wind and hoped that you know, it was going to make you guys into famous magicians. You guys really seem to have a good business sense. How important is that, especially for somebody in your genre where things have to be big? There's explosions and spikes, and you know, you have to have a permit for a river to transport people across it. You know, is that something that started from the very beginning with you guys?
Yes, I think generally, I mean, from the business point of view, I mean, whether you're a close-up magician, whether you're a stage magician or a mega illusionist, if you're going to do a business investment, it's always better to use someone else's money.
Yes. I mean, don't be a sucker and put your own cash into the show, kids. Take it from Summon Ning.
So that's the first rule of thumb. So yes, it was always about pitching. I mean, we took a couple of years to pitch our first mega illusion. I mean, I think I came up with the whole idea of a mega illusion and to pitch it as a live event as early as 2003, and we finally got someone who bought the idea in 2007. So that's 4 years of solid pitching and hunting for someone who, you know, was willing to invest, you know, big money into, you know, a magic stunt, which has never been done in Singapore or even this part of the world.
You're right in saying that the beginning is always the tough part. But once you are able to show that, you know, you are able to deliver the goods and do it well, people will come to you. And I mean, JC and I have been, you know, been really lucky that we've been loved and supported by so many, the public here in Singapore, as well as the media. In fact, the past few weeks has been quite crazy because besides the rehearsals for the big shows, we've also been going for radio interviews and media interviews and photo shoots and stuff. Because I guess we had like very good track record as well, and that really helped in securing that whole belief that we'll be able to deliver and not just do something well, but come up with something creative and original all the time.
Yeah, you mentioned the expectations of people inside the Singapore magic community, or at least the Singapore magic consumer. What is the Singapore magic scene? You know, because from my perspective, I mean, I would only be able to name two names, and you guys are them. So, you know, what is that, you know, whole environment like?
Sure, what's the community like? Well, yeah, I think the first thing is to put things into perspective. Singapore is really tiny. Singapore, it's small. You can go across one end to the other lengthwise in 45 minutes.
Okay.
We have a population of only 4 million people. So I think the first thing we do is we never just look within the context of Singapore. We always look ourselves at the context of Asia.
Okay.
So that's how we see ourselves. We see ourselves representing Asia, but from Singapore.
Sure.
So I think that's the first thing we do. And we always benchmark ourselves then to international standards and Asian standards. So now the Singapore magic scene is very healthy. There are lots of hobbyists. I think there are more magic shops per capita or per square, you know, kilometer than anywhere else in the world. We have quite a few professionals as well who do it full time. And having said that, I also have to, you know, acknowledge the Asian magic scene in general as well, because we have great magicians like Cyril.
Liu Qian from Taiwan.
We've got actually very good magicians from Indonesia, Malaysia as well. And then Ning and myself, we've tried to do our thing as well to help push magic in Asia to a more mainstream level. So I think collectively, because the Asian magic scene has, you know, really blown up in the last 5 years, and of course because the Asian pop culture and economy is very strong as well, so in the world context, the world is also turning to Asia for entertainment and pop culture. So all this has helped as well, and therefore Singapore's, you know, level and prominence and the whole popularity of magic has also increased in, you know, the last 5 years.
Yeah, there really is for you guys a explosion in that Asian magic scene, and especially from a North American perspective, just understanding the fact that you guys are doing stuff, and that, you know, we can see these performances you know, real time almost, or at least as soon as they're uploaded to YouTube, is a great way, and I would assume it goes both ways, that you guys were able to see. You know, as soon as Mind Freak airs, you know, here, you can see, you know, what is done, you know, in Singapore, even though, you know, the episode might not air there, you know, until months later, if at all. So, you know, is there a sense from you guys that you are bringing a distinctly Asian flavor to your magic, or is it a, I mean, you said international standards. I mean, would you say that you seem like you have an American aesthetic, I guess, what I'm trying to get to. Is that intentional?
Yes. Actually, Ning and I, we are quite atypical Asians. We do have a very strong American influence in our magic as well as in our whole, you know, pop culture upbringing. So we actually un-Asian. In fact, we are the East meets
like,
West.
Yeah, cosmopolitan. Like, when you come to Singapore, and I must say this, that I was quite appalled initially when several Westerners I got to know actually assumed incorrectly that Singapore is part of China. We are not a part of China.
That is incorrect.
Yeah, so, my great-grandparents did come from China, but in Singapore, everyone speaks English.
As a first language.
As a first language, and then as a mother tongue, you can speak your Mandarin or your Indian, Malay. In fact, what's very different about Singapore is that we are very multicultural. Yeah. So, I guess it is safe to say that JC and myself are very cosmopolitan in our approach. Most of the magicians here in Singapore tend to adopt the more Taiwanese style.
Or the North Asian influence, the Japanese and the Taiwanese style in terms of how they perform and type of material.
Yeah, so you see a lot of like manipulation acts, stuff with your fantastical magic canes.
Card manipulations, doves. So we don't do any of that stuff. So I think, in a sense, we feel that we are very, I guess, just international. We're neutral. We're like Switzerland, just from Singapore.
There we go. You're like Marco Tempest, right?
You know, that's right, yeah.
Now, let me ask you a little bit about Singapore. You know, there from the American perspective, those of us who know that you're not in China, there's a sense that it's a very strict culture. If you were to ask, probably, I mean, I don't know, kids, people younger than me, and I'm 28. You know, people younger than me probably wouldn't remember it, but I mean, I was certainly a kid when the whole caning, American tourist incident happened.
Yep, Michael Fay. It still happens.
Like this year there was a Swiss dude who kind of defaced a train. He was like spray painting stuff on it. Really cool graffiti, but unfortunately he was jailed and caned. But you see, that's the thing about government. They are like really sticky on things like this. And I think it's because we have really Asian values.
Yeah.
So take things like drugs like really seriously. There's no such thing as recreational drugs, use here in Singapore because
only professional.
And Justin, you can't chew gum in Singapore. It's banned.
Yeah, we have no gum.
Really?
Yeah, it's
banned. Chewing gum is banned in Singapore since the early 90s.
Wow.
That's right.
Now,
all right,
go ahead. This will be like maybe like one of those controversial interviews. You guys chewing gum?
Can you confirm or deny,
JC Sum or Magic Babe Ning, that you have chewed gum in the last 5 years?
Not that we know of.
Good. Keep your nose clean.
Yeah, any magicians who, do chewing gum magic, you can't do that here.
Wow. And is that just because it gets everywhere?
Exactly right. It's basically because, it got everywhere and, the government realized that, instead of spending so much money cleaning it up and having so much inconvenience, we'll just ban chewing gum. So kids, below the age of 10 may have no idea what chewing gum is.
Wow. This is crazy. This is like Singapore is like my grandma's house. They're just going to like make, putting plastic on everybody's couches, mandatory.
But Singapore's a great place if you are foodie because we have like all sorts of food. And one thing is when we have friends from overseas come to Singapore, JC and myself would always love to bring them around to eat at different places in Singapore because you can find all sorts of cuisine, different cuisine in Singapore from Japanese to French to like really good all sorts of Chinese food.
And I should mention, being strict, one thing is Singapore is one of the safest countries in the world.
Yes. No, that's one thing that I've always known, I've heard rather. I don't know because I've never been to the country, but that there it is a very, very strict culture, but at least, you guys are getting something out of it. It's very clean, very nice, very safe country. Even I'm sure that the transsexual that's staring in your window is very well behaved. And certainly not chewing gum.
Well, she left, but she got some business elsewhere.
Oh, okay, okay. So she's wandered off. But the one thing I wanted to ask you in terms of the strictness of the culture, Ning specifically, you've made you know no bones about being a sex icon, or you're playing up the sexual element of your act, and you've been in Maxim and FHM. You know, what is that element, you know, in Singapore? Is it frowned upon? I mean, are you looked at differently? I mean, and I'm sorry if this comes off as completely ignorant, but it's I'm curious.
Oh no, not at all. Well, Singapore isn't China, so while there is the whole thing about, you know, no chewing gum and all those strict rules, the thing is, we are really open culture, and most people are very open-minded. It's just that, you know, the government does all these rules so that it governs everybody in a broad spectrum. But if you're talking about your PMEBs, your adults, and people who usually book us, they do enjoy these things, because there's a big difference between Magic Babe's character. She is sexy, but she's not smutty.
No.
And yeah, that's why. So this whole image thing comes across very clearly because of the way that I communicate on stage. And as for the dressing, well, it is provocative in a way, but it's nothing too...
It's not too out there. I mean, it's sexy. It is sexy, I think. And definitely the Magic Babe character does thread that ground, but I think she gets away with it because she's also a skillful, confident performer.
I don't do the bimbo thing on stage.
Yeah. Okay. So the bimbo thing is you know,
it's left for the magic.
Yeah. Yes. Like that's the thing. Is you know, there's so much, you know, in I guess it from the American perspective, Singapore seems on a lot of levels to be a study of contrast. You know, that there is, you know, from me watching you guys and following your blog and everything, that, you know, you have this kind of character, and you know that Singapore has all these kind of rules, but you guys aren't Pakistan, right? Like, you know.
Yeah, we aren't. Like, no, we aren't. You know. I think it's also we adapt to the environment. I mean, we do push the envelope, we do thread on you know, some gray areas, but we never cross the line. And I think in general, you know, everyone, whether you're entertainer, whether you're in business, whether you're in magic, or whoever you are in the world, you adapt to that country's or geographical locations, environment, whether it's political, whether it's security, whether it's cultural.
When in Rome, do like the Romans.
Sure.
Yeah,
exactly. And unless the Romans are chewing gum, in that case you're gonna have
And you basically adapt, you know, your business model, you adapt your performing style, your characters, your attire, that would appeal to them, be commercial, but yet, you know, feels different. I think that's what we're always trying to push.
All right. Now here's the big question. Outside of Singapore, you guys seem like, I mean, again, like I said, if someone were to walk up to me and I don't know why this scenario would happen, but were to scream, name two magicians in Singapore, I would name JC7 Magic Babe Ning. And if they asked me to name a third, I'd just fall down in a fetal position and start crying because I wouldn't know anybody else. So it seems like you guys have a lock on that, you know, that you're part of the globe. You think of yourself in a broader Asian or international context. What's next for JC Sum and Magic Babe Ning, if even just geographically?
Well, I think we definitely would probably be based here in Singapore. It's a great center to be based out of. Our main markets, you know, are Asia and the Middle East. So mm-hmm. That's where our main work is going to be. We still travel a lot. We might do a couple more Megalusions, but what we've introduced actually just in fact is our whole new approach to illusions, and that's to offer, besides just the whole visual illusions, we've also created this whole interactive illusion show which we call Illusions of the Mind.
Gotcha. Can you explain that a little bit?
Sure. Okay. Some people might think it's a mentalism show, but, you know, I can tell you pure mentalists would not agree it's a mentalism show. A pure illusionist would not call it an illusion show. So it's what we call an interactive, you know, illusion show. So it's, imagine if you combine visual grand illusions, but allowing people to have choices within those illusions. which is a lot like what we're doing for our Mega Illusion. So the people are going to be very involved. And we just did sneak previews of the show for the public and went really well.
That sounds so it's something awesome.
We've never done this before. And, you know, really, no one has really done anything like this before as well, because they've either done a strict mentalism show or an illusion show. So we've kind of mashed the two together. And again, you know, it's whole pushing the envelope on user-generated content. We want the people to have a say in the show's content, how it pans out. And it's just all in line with, you know, the current culture of today.
Now, let me ask you this. Here's all I care about, because, again, this is a podcast that is recorded and produced from America, and I am a born American, so everything needs to revolve around us. When are you coming to the States? What would bring JC Summon Magic Babe Ning here stateside?
Money?
Sure. There we go. Again, that was almost a test. See? Like I said, kids, don't do something unless someone's going to cut you a check for it.
Well, you know, we have been offered several times. Nothing has really panned out. You know, as I mentioned, our primary markets are Asia and Middle East, so we haven't been very aggressive in breaking to the US market as well. But opportunity is always there. I know some doors are open for us, so anytime we have the time and we have a slot, we would love to come down. We would, you know, love to bring our entire show down.
Yeah, I mean, I love the U.S. In fact, my parents did study in the U.S., and I would love to actually go to the different cities and experience it all, because I think all the different cities have like their own unique character. And of course, I want to ride the roller coasters and stuff that you guys have.
Crazy one. There's no roller coasters there either?
Well, we do, but they're kind of tame.
Yeah, way too tame. I mean, Singapore is small, so we don't have the space for that. The roller coaster, it's like, you know, 20 feet long.
I'll tell you what, you guys, you're gonna come to America. I'm gonna buy you each 4 packs of gum. We're gonna chew it and go on roller coasters, and it's gonna be the best. You're never gonna want to go back. We're just gonna be spray painting. Go, you know. We're gonna get caught for something illegal. They're gonna give you a ticket and not hit you with a cane. It's gonna be awesome.
Sounds like fun.
Exactly. Oh my god, I'm so glad that I finally got to talk to you guys. Talk a little bit about your big, and I'm sure gonna mangle the name, but the big exit, your big new Mega Illusion.
The big exit? No, it's not our big exit, but
no. An aerial exit. Is it aerial exit?
That's right. It's called the aerial exit.
Yes.
We're gonna try to make 5 people, laymen, disappear while they're elevated, you know, 20 feet in the air.
And these were people that you selected from Facebook, right?
No. These are the people that the National Heritage Board selects, because they have this website that's going on right now, and there are ads for it every day. So basically anyone in Singapore can just submit their name on their website, and NHB will pick the 5 non-magicians to experience the aero exit up close and personal.
That is fantastic.
So as mentioned, it's all part of a bigger campaign. So our client, who is the National Heritage Board, is the one who is really spearheading this entire campaign. So our aerial exit is the grand finale to this 3-week campaign. So people are still submitting their names every day to be one of the 5. There are some requirements. And, you know, I think on the 2nd of December, they're going to pick 5 people for us, and we'll see what happens.
Well, it sounds fantastic. And again, one more time, when and where is that going to be for any listeners in the Singapore area?
All right. Their aero exit will happen on the 12th of December, 5 p.m. It's at the Asian Civilizations Museum by the Singapore River.
Yeah, admission is free, but do come early because we expect a huge crowd.
No, you guys, it's huge. Every other time you guys do another illusion, I see it. It's like Michael Jackson in his prime. You guys are packing things out. It's amazing. It's great.
Well, honestly, they all come to see Ning, I think. Wow. The last time round, when we did the car teleportation, 16,000 people came down. So that was really cool.
That's fantastic. And you know, and Ning is something to come and see. You know, who could blame them?
Thanks.
All right. One more time. Where can people find more information about you guys? You write a fantastic blog. Give the address out for that.
All right, well, we have blogs with everything. So the best thing you can do is go to our personal websites. That's jcsum.com as well as magicbabening.com. And you can get all the links to our Facebook, YouTube, blogs, all from there.
All right. Well, there we go. JC Sum, Magic Babe Ning. You guys on Twitter?
That's right, we're on Twitter too. So just find me on the website and you get all the information.
All right. All right. I'm going to follow you guys right now here on Twitter. All right. Well, that about wraps it up for this edition of the Magic Week in Review. I want to thank JC Sum and Magic Babe Ning. Guys, again, you know, I'm so thrilled to talk to you guys, and hopefully we'll do it again sometime soon. And best of luck on the aerial exit.
Thank you so much.
Thanks. It's been a pleasure.
All right, folks. If you want to email in your question, comment, concern, or complain, it is show@itricks.com. One more thank you to TrickShopMagic.com. Make sure you visit TrickShopMagic.com. Over 5,000 items have been lowered to their lowest price ever in the history of the planet. Until next week, I'm Justin Robert Young, editor of itricks.com, at itricks.com on Twitter. Bang and gone.
itricks.com.